All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
Some other men for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Arlington. That's what we're going to be talking about today. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I am your host of Veterans Radio. We're back home again here at Wham Talk 1600 in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My co-host today is Bob Gould. Bob?
All the way 101st Airborne, baby. I mean, we've landed. And you know what, folks, right now, I don't know, those of you that follow us from that other station, here's Dale and Bob. We were going to wear our shirts today, and this is Dale and Bob for 10 years. He's got white, and I got dark. Hey, man.
Absolutely.
Welcome, Dale. Let me shake your hand, big guy.
Welcome, and welcome all of you to Veterans Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. You can call us today locally here at 734-822-1600. If you're listening to us on the Internet or you're way out in the country somewhere, give us a call toll-free at 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET-1600. We've got a lot of things that we want to cover, kind of a smorgasbord of activities going on today, as Bob and his guests are going to be talking a little bit more about Arlington in just
Arlington,
a moment.
Arlington, baby.
It's 150th anniversary of Arlington, and we're very excited to have that. This is Arlington was one of our former partners, Gary Lilly's just favorite place to go. And I know it doesn't sound kind of very it sounds unusual that a cemetery would be your favorite place to go, but it certainly was a powerful place. And Gary would go down there, usually it seemed like once a year at least, and always come back just with more stories and more emotion and everything along those lines.
I think we're channeling him right now.
Well, we are because we're back here. And the other thing I want to make sure is I want to introduce two of our new partners to Veterans Radio. And number one is I'm going to introduce Jim Falzone. Jim is the leading partner or partner in legal help for veterans. Jim, welcome to Veterans Radio and welcome to the team.
Thanks, Dale. Glad to be here. Glad to support the mission of Veterans Radio, which we've been following for 10 years now.
You were one of the originals. And also joining us is...
No labels.
It's the better part of the...
No labels.
It's the better part of the group. And this is General Carol Ann Falzone, who is a veterans advocate personified. And Carol Ann, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale and Bob, very much. It is such an honor to be able to help our American heroes. Thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, because we're going to have... Jim and Carol Ann are going to be on in the future with their own programs. They both specialize, and they know an awful lot about veterans benefits that we don't even know about.
They even wrote a couple books.
They do.
There's going to be pamphlets available.
We're going to have all kinds
everything
of stuff.
Everything you want to know about your benefits, these folks have got it. So we've got it covered, Dale.
It's going to be very exciting to be able to partner up with Legal Help for Veterans. They have the same mission that we do. They have the same intensity that we do, and I think the same emotion that we do. So I'm really excited about having them on the program with us today, and we're going to be talking with them later on because we want to just kind of let people know what's happening out there on today's program. Bob and his guests are going to talk about Arlington. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to take a look at the VA issue that you've been reading about in the papers and hearing on on the radio and on TV, and we're going to invite your phone calls a little bit later on. I have one other thing I need to mention, and that is Applebee's.
Applebee's. Well,
yes.
I want to say a few things about Applebee's. I was in Applebee's not too long ago, and somebody said, you know what, and I had my hat on, 101st Airborne, folks, and they said, you know what, it's 30% off the cost of the meal on Mondays.
Every Monday.
Isn't that fantastic?
Not 30%.
Only, no.
That's better than a senior discount.
On the other days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get 10%. Off your now, this is not the drinks, folks. Okay, this is the price of the meal. But that's way cool. It's all about their veteran outreach. And we're going to have some folks on the program. In fact, they might even be calling in today to tell us a little bit more about their veteran outreach. But they're the real deal, besides having very good food.
And that's right. Plus, we have some gift certificates that we're not going to give away yet, but we've got a number of them. And as soon as we figure out a clever way to give them away, we're going to let you all know about that. But this Monday, go on down to Applebee's, check it out.
Oh, 30%. But it's not publicized. So it's not like you walk in and see that, but we're telling everybody right now. And if everybody tells 10 other veterans, guess what? They're going to get a lot of business. And don't forget, when you do go to Applebee's and you get your complimentary discount, please say, hey, we heard it right here on Veterans Radio. That would be really cool for us, eh?
That would be very cool.
But Applebee's is the real deal.
There, that's one of Bob's favorite sayings, the real deal. If he says it's a real deal, it is definitely the real deal. So that's Applebee's restaurant. You know, I think they're called your neighborhood restaurant, so make sure that you go there and check them out this Monday.
I do have to add one thing. Now, that's the ones in Michigan. Not all across the country participate. I don't know why, but they don't.
Well, check the sign when you go in. In fact, ask them. How do you get things done? You ask, right?
That's right.
So go into your Applebee's and say, let's get this taken
care of. And if you don't ask, you don't know.
That's right.
And if you don't know, you're uninformed. And if you want to be informed, you tune in to
Veterans Radio.
You got it. By the way, folks, we've had over 500 programs under our belt, so we're not a bunch of rookies around here.
And we would encourage you to go to our website, veteransradio.net. We've got a number of our programs are archived, and we're working on those more and more every day. Legal Help for Veterans is going to be helping us with their staff upload more programs. We're going to be putting a tab on there for jobs. We want to put veterans on every corporate team out there, so we're going to have put a veteran on your team on our website. There's just so many things going on there, and if you want to get involved with Veterans Radio, there's another thing right there, and become a sponsor. You can give us a call anytime you want at the 800 number when we're not on the air. That's 844-838-1600, and you'll be able to talk to me, or you can call Bob, and we will make sure that you get the information to become a sponsor on Veterans Radio.
And if you have a special announcement, event, please let us know in advance. Dale, why don't you give out that email address so that you can give us all the announcements you want us to read on Veterans Radio.
There you go. On our website, you can also click Contact Us, or you can send an email to either Dale at veteransradio.net or Bob at veteransradio.net, and we'll get your event posted up on our website, and also we'll announce it during the program. But right now, we got to get into Arlington, so we're going to take a real quick break, and I'm warning our new board person over there to let them know that we are going to be taking a break, and we'll be right back after this brief message. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was post-traumatic stress disorder. My teeth felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about Wounded Warrior Project. I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again.
Many of our warriors return from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
For the thousands of wounded warriors returning from battle, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a unique program that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. The Warriors to Work program also works with companies to find the right job for the right warrior. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Yeah, well, here we are back on Veterans Radio. I'm going to about to read a letter. This is Bob Gould. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln. Now that was written 150 years ago, folks. Coming up this Memorial Day will be the 150th anniversary of Arlington. And right now with me as one of our guests today is a historian and author, Jeff Archer, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Happy to be here, Bob. Thank you very much. And Dale, Veterans Radio, I'm surrounded by some esteemed company, and I feel a great honor to be here.
Tell us, give us a brief history, a little bit about, 150 years ago. Wow, that was a long time. And give us a little history about that, Jeff.
The Arlington Estate was originally, Bob, owned by George Washington Parke Custis, the adopted grandson of George Washington. His daughter, Mary Ann Randolph, who married, curiously, Robert E. Lee, inherited the estate. It was abandoned by the Lees during the Civil War and used as a headquarters for the Union Army.
Now, you know, you wonder if that was by design. What do you think about that, Dale? Do you think that was about...
I think it was by design. Payback. It was payback.
They didn't call it that back then, did they?
No, they didn't. But it was originally, Robert E. Lee's home that came through his wife. And after they had abandoned it, and the American or the Northern armies used it as a headquarters, they started burying dead Union soldiers around the house. And then they finally decided that that's what they wanted to, that they wanted to use this as a memorial, because the Lee family, of course, was all upset. And of course, the Confederates, they outraged that they would deface this beautiful home, by burying Yankees, in the garden.
Oh, yes.
And, right?
Exactly. And yeah. After the Battle of the Wilderness, the Union was quickly running out of space to place these wounded, dead.
Yeah, they had
bury these soldiers.
They had to have something, and so this was formed right after the war ended. It was formed, and then it became when it actually became Arlington National Cemetery?
We do, in May of 1864, as a matter of fact, after having suffered these large numbers of dead at the Battle of the Wilderness. The property was high and free from floods. It had a view of the District of Columbia. It was aesthetically pleasing, and it was the home, as Dale mentioned, of the leader of the armed forces, the Confederate States of America, Robert E. Lee.
And they had to keep it away from developers, I'm sure, back then. I mean, how many acres was it, Jeff?
It was 640.
And how many people are interred?
Well, 200 at that time. It's now grown to 640 as the number of burials.
And how many people are interred there?
There are approximately 400,000.
400,000. Well, they must be filled.
No, as a matter of fact, the Department of the Army, which oversees the cemetery, is working on acquiring property as we speak, as a matter of fact.
And the state of Maryland?
With the state of Virginia.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm sorry, the river.
But across from the Potomac from the
now, folks, I didn't know until today that they actually are stacking folks. And Carol Ann, what do you know about that?
Well, if it's a family and your spouse is able to be buried there, you've met the criteria, and you are to be buried in Arlington, which is one of our awesome national shrines. The cemeteries are treated as national shrines. And so your spouse could be buried with you.
Your spouse?
Your spouse.
When did this happen? Anybody know? Was this recent that your spouse?
Oh, no. This has been going back many, many years.
Who knew?
And what you do need to prove, though, is you need a marriage certificate at the time of burial. If the spouse goes first and you're able to be buried in any national cemetery. Now, we are very proud here in Michigan. We have two national cemeteries.
Where are
the
they,
Great
Carol?
Lakes in Holly and
Battle Creek.
In Battle Creek. Or they say Augusta is Fort Custer. Beautiful, beautiful shrines, and that's how they should be treated.
Now, folks, think of that. The government has now made it available that you can have your dependents, your wife, even your children can be.
Let's find out how do you get into Arlington? Can I go to Arlington?
If you are a veteran,
I am a veteran, but are there certain requirements to get me into Arlington, or do I end up? No, I don't want to say end up, or do I get to go to Holly or Custer or someplace else?
As Arlington continues to fill up, some of the requirements include any active duty member of the armed forces, any veteran who is retired, eligible for retirement pay, any former member of the armed forces, honorably discharged.
That's me. Okay, yep. I'm honorably discharged. I'm a veteran.
Medal of Honor winners?
No.
Astronauts.
Astronauts. Silver Star.
What astronauts are there? I think it's the Challenger, right? Is the whole crew?
Challenger. Columbia.
I saw that.
Gus Grissom.
Yeah, White and the rest of the...
Yes, from the Apollo fire.
Right.
Okay, so do they have politicians there, Jeff? We don't have to know who, but do they have politicians there?
They do.
But they have to be a vet, right?
Former presidents, Howard Taft, John Kennedy, of course, chief justices, senators, Pulitzer Prize-winning, curiously, correspondent Marguerite Higgins, who was the only woman correspondent to cover the Korean War.
Now, I know that when I was there, it's a very solemn place. I was not prepared for how solemn that moment was myself. I didn't expect that. I was there with the Honor the Vets flight, the Honor Flight. There we are, the Honor Flight. And there was a group of school kids coming. I went, uh-oh, here we go. Because we were taking up most of the sidewalk. And first of all, they parted like the Red Sea to let us through. And even some of the kids, I was pushing a wheelchair, and even some of the kids were taking my place, and they had just witnessed the changing of the guard, so they were really energized.
It is a very respectful place, Bob, and I think a lot of senior classes, high school kids. Travel to Washington, D.C. as part of their senior year, and a stop at Arlington's almost on everybody's list. And what's amazing is the level of respect that these high school kids demonstrate when they're at Arlington. I think they walk in typically boisterous and energized. And as kids are, sort of a little unruly. And when they get in there and see the living history that is there, the stories that their dads and their moms and their grandparents have told them over time about what it takes to build this country is something that is just permeates the air there at Arlington, and you get a whole different level of respect from children and high school kids as they leave.
We do have the unknown soldier is buried there, and
Arlington is the only national cemetery. Bob,
is this the only unknown soldier that was buried there?
Every war in the United States history. Go ahead. You were mentioning the Tomb of the Unknown.
Is this the only? I thought there was a change with the unknowns.
No, the only problem with the unknown is that they've been able to identify some of them through DNA.
That's what I
now.
Thought. Right. Right.
Yeah, the Vietnam veteran is. I think they've replaced him with another unknown veteran.
There may never be.
Yeah,
another unknown soldier now because of the science.
I know. I read that. I read that. Well, anyway, folks. Okay, it's time now. We got to be moving on. That's right. Arlington National Cemetery, 150th anniversary coming up this Memorial Day. Do you have a flag? No, I don't have a flag. Oh, well, you know what? You got to go out there and get yourself a flag, and display the flag because this is the 150th anniversary. D-Day, this is the 70th anniversary. That's right. This is a big year. The Battle of the Bulge, Market Garden, all September Hope, et cetera, et cetera. So this is going to be a very big year for veterans. Get yourself a flag. Display the flag. Display the flag proudly. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after this very brief message. You're listening to Veterans Radio right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Thay Ronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. Questions being asked if Hillary Clinton is healthy enough to be president. The issue was first raised by Republican strategist and Fox News contributor Karl Rove. And now,
former Vice President Dick Cheney on Fox News Sunday says anyone running for president will be questioned about their health.
I wouldn't want to prejudge Mrs. Clinton's health. I don't know anything about it. Certainly, I felt responsible to be open about my health.
On CNN's State of the Union, Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein said Clinton looks healthy.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. Godzilla debuts at number one in the weekend box office derby. The giant monster remake rakes in more than $93 million. Firefighters gain the upper hand in San Diego County. About a dozen fires doing at least $20 million in damage. Fox News, we report, you decide.
We understand that you've got a lot of choices when it comes to insurance, but let us help you narrow them down. Farm Bureau Insurance is the company committed to serving Michigan and only Michigan. Created in 1949, Michigan farmers wanted an insurance company that worked as hard as they did. Today, Farm Bureau Insurance works even harder to protect your home and safeguard your loved ones. We're here during life's best moments and when the unexpected happens. Our agents live and work right in your community, so our service is always local and always personal. A local Farm Bureau insurance agent can help meet every insurance need you might have, from life, home, auto, farm, business, and retirement. You can count on Farm Bureau Insurance to offer you peace of mind and to help you through the toughest times of your life. Your local Farm Bureau insurance agent in Ann Arbor is Bill Heft. Call Bill today at 734-662-2260. Michigan, my Michigan. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Lieutenant Edward Isaac escaped twice from the Germans during World War I. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
The German Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Isaac was captured and held as a prisoner on board the German submarine U-90, where the USS President Lincoln was attacked and sunk. Upon the return of the submarine to Germany, he was confined in a prison camp. During his stay on the U-90, he obtained information of the movements of German submarines, which was so important that he determined to escape with a view to making this information available to the U.S. and Allied naval authorities. In attempting to carry out this plan, he jumped through the window of a rapidly moving train at the imminent risk of death, not only from the nature of the act itself, but from the fire of the armed German soldiers who were guarding him. Having been recaptured and reconfined, Lieutenant Isaac made a second successful attempt to escape, breaking his way through barbed wire fences and deliberately drawing the fire of the armed guards in the hope of permitting others to escape during the confusion. He made his way through the mountains of southwestern Germany, having only raw vegetables for food, and at the end, swam the Rhine River during the night in the immediate vicinity of German sentries to reach Allied forces.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Veterans Radio. I guess we're listening to a little bit of a song here. That's fine. Now we're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're just kind of getting the kinks out here. This is our first time we've been here on WHAM Talk 1600 in about 7 years, and so we're just learning how to do this again. It's a great place for us to be, and we want to welcome all of you back here to Veterans Radio, whether you're listening in southeastern Michigan or you're listening on the Internet. They've got streaming on their website. It's also on ours, veteransradio.net, and I believe there's a service called TuneIn, where you can listen to WHAM at any time, any day, all around the country. So we want to make sure that you support our local radio station just like ours. If you'd like to give us a call today, you can give it a call locally at 734-822-1600 or toll-free 844-838-1600. I've got a guest on the line I want to bring in, a good old friend of ours. And this is Dwight Zimmerman. And Dwight, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Bob and Dale, I'm so happy to have you guys back on the air.
Isn't it terrific?
Nice to hear from you, Dwight.
Yes. Hi, Bob. Okay. Now, just a quick heads up. I tried to access online. I'm really impressed with the reworking of the website. But when I tried to get the online link, I was having some problems. So, just to give you the
okay,
the
we'll work on that. And for people out there listening to us, so you can just go to the WHAM website and click Listen Live, and we'll pick that up.
What is that website?
WHAM.
WHAM.
Talk1600.com.
It's
whamradio.com.
All right, there we go. Whamradio.com. What do we know?
Okay.
Anyway.
And I just wanted to say that, I was listening to, the discussion regarding Arlington National Cemetery, and I recently finished an article about Veterans Day, the history of Veterans Day, and it devoted a section to the Tomb of the Unknown.
Right.
And it was really it's an amazing story. When they dedicated it under President Harding's administration, it was a major nationwide event because this, of course, was unknown from World War I. It was among the first nationwide live radio broadcasts.
Oh, okay. So it was after 1920.
It was 1921.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm playing media professor here, so now that's the thing that goes on.
No, no. I'll fire you. You know, an email of my article. It was just absolutely amazing. There were, yeah, it was a gigantic event. Essentially, it shut for the first time ever. It shut down Wall Street.
Oh, I can believe it, Dwight. I mean, we're going to have Dwight. I got to give you some background on Dwight. Dwight Zimmerman is one of our big contributors to Veterans Radio. He's also the president of the Military Writers Society of America, which is where we get a lot of our authors from. These are everyday people who just write amazing stories. And Dwight has access to all of these people, and we're going to be bringing Dwight on periodically to talk about the best books that the military writers are bringing out. Plus, he has contacts with all of the writers, it seems like, in the Western world, and probably the Eastern world.
Well, thank you, Dale. And maybe not all of them, but I brought in.
Pretty good. You have brought some amazing award-winning writers to Veterans Radio, and he ran a segment for us for about a year or so called At Ease, and he would bring on the authors to talk about their stories, and they're just fascinating. And Dwight, we want to have you on again. I hate to kind of cut you off, but I want to get into this VA issue that's occurring out there. And I want to thank you, Dwight, for calling in, and make sure you tell everybody in the military writers that we appreciate their following us and supporting us, and hopefully we'll see you in Phoenix.
Yes. Our annual conference this year is going to be at the Phoenix Holiday Inn, September 25 through 28th. And we have an amazing group of writers. I have been so impressed with both the quality and the honesty of the work that our members have produced.
They are amazing, Dwight. And if people wanted to find out more about the Military Writers Society, where would they go to look?
We have a website. It's www.mwsadispatches.com.
That's the place. And they can also find you on Facebook, correct?
That is correct. You just type in Military Writers Society of America, and that will take you right straight there.
Just like us. We're on Facebook, too. Just go to Facebook. It's Veterans Radio. And we'll be there for you and also on Twitter. Dwight, thanks very much for being on the program, and I'm very appreciative of your calling in and welcoming us home, let's put it that way.
I'm so happy that you guys are back on the air. What you guys do is such an important thing, and I was so happy to be able to be a big part of it for the period where we were doing At Ease, and certainly we'll do everything I can going forward.
We will do that. Thank you very much, Dwight. Dwight Zimmerman, President of the Military Writers Society of America. Dun, dun, dun. And now, as I know, a new phone system.
You know, we need to direct folks to our bookstore on our website, because Dwight's book is there, the one on Vietnam. It's wonderful. Dwight used to be, was he the story writer?
He worked for Marvel Comics when he first got started in writing. He's from the middle of nowhere, North Dakota or South Dakota, somewhere like that. And he started off with illustrated books and comics, actually. And he does a lot of
stories. He writes at a level that you guys can understand.
Yeah. I have a whole collection of.
We get slandered already the first day.
He's an
Air Force guy. What can we say?
Yeah, she's Air Force.
Oh, we got two Air Forces. That's right. We got a general, retired general. Lord.
Be careful.
I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, you didn't throw me off, because wait till you see the books that he's written. Along with, I wish I could remember the illustrator, but there are all of these people that are out there. You'll remember these. Remember Classics Illustrated when we were going to school? It's the way we got our book reports done. Well, some of us. And this is what they're like. They're just graphic drawings along with a great storyline. And Dwight has done a number of these. He was the co-writer along with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh yeah, on the Killing of Lincoln.
They wrote one for high school and middle school kids, and he was a co-writer with that, number one along the way. So this guy knows what he does. He writes for the military defense strategy. Anyway, he's out there all over the place. So you just wait till you meet some of these people that we know. Right now, I got somebody, though. Sorry, Joe. Right now we've got Joe Carvalho on the line. And Joe is from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he writes across a wide variety of genre, including commentary, fiction, technology. But he was on our program for writing a book, that was last year, I believe, called We Were Beautiful Once. And it was about it was a fictitious story about a Korean veteran, correct?
That's right. Yep.
And Joe is kind of an expert on the VA. I think it's like many of us. He researches it a lot more than we do. And we've all been reading about the things that have been going on in the VA. And you know, we know that a lot of it is anecdotal. But if you could just kind of fill our audience in, and I should give out that number one more time. If you have a comment about the local VA or your VA, wherever you happen to be, you can give us a call here at WHAM Talk 1600, 734-822-1600, or 844-VET-1600. Okay, Joe, you're on.
Dale, I think, it's discouraging, I suppose, is that the story we hear that we heard last week, and it was before the Senate, Veterans Senate Affairs Committee, is just an old story. I mean, it never gets better, and it probably gets worse. And so that problems that were identified, a half dozen, even a dozen years ago, and even more, right, where they said they were going to fix it, they needed more money, they needed more management, whatever it was, right? There's nothing that seems to move them off the dime. And so we keep finding ourselves in the same circumstance over and over. And I think what brought this to a head was, of course, the atrocious finding, okay, that they've paid out something like $35 million in damage awards over the last couple of years to people who have either died or been injured as a consequence of not getting treatment, not getting their day in the medical facility, and something like on the order of, I think they admit something like 27, but there's allegations that, or 23, I guess, there's allegations could be as many as 41 people died waiting to get into the VA.
I was just going to say, we're very fortunate in the local area in southeastern Michigan. We have a pretty good VA hospital, probably one of the finest in their system. Is this whole thing endemic, or is it just isolated hospitals? Because for our audience's sake, there's about 1,700 different hospitals, medical clinics, health centers, veteran centers, and so forth and so on. And so what is happening?
Well, like you, my experience is mainly with the one in West Haven, Connecticut, which I think is pretty damn good. All right, it's pretty first rate. My father used it for some time. I've never used it, but I used it through him, and I probably made 100 visits because he's at a hospital to the primary care, and then finally he passed in that hospital. But it's a good hospital. It's has a good reputation. So I think what we're talking about here are that various facilities in various states are just not measuring up to the standard that our veterans deserve.
Jim, you had a comment?
At Legal Help for Veterans, we talk to veterans all across the country and hear about this issue regularly. While VA does a lot of things really well, unfortunately, I think there is a corporate culture where some directors, some people running different clinics or groups, to make the numbers, to report good things to their bosses, and ultimately all the way back to D.C., fudge the records. And we hear it from our veterans. The wait times at times are just discouraging, whether it's trying to get into a bed for substance abuse or to see a doctor. This isn't the way we should be treating our veterans, and you have to change the culture. I think we ought to give a lot of praise to the media here. If it wasn't for the CNN reporting that started this ball rolling, and now at a lot of local levels there's good reporting going on about what's being seen, we just go on and on, because this was talked about in a VA Inspector General report, I know at least as far back as 2012. So it's not a new problem. It just didn't have enough light shined on it to get any action done, and that's sad that we have to do that in the media to get get the VA to do something.
All right. Bob, you had a question?
Yeah, Bob Gould here. Joe, I'd like to get to the more specific. Is it a question of money? Is it a question of competent administrators? What are we looking at here, Joe?
Well, there's two things. The money has been increasing over the last several years, right? And I think it's been increasing pretty dramatically. But, you know, a large part of the funding that goes into the VA, of course, goes into disability compensation, pensions, and education, and all kinds of things. So that the $64 billion, I think, that's planned for 2015 in the 2015 budget, when you get down to the bottom line, only $45 billion goes into actual medical treatment, medical care. So there's a big, you know, they tout the $164 billion because they want us to believe that they're, you know, they're funding this thing adequately. Now, whether $45 billion is sufficient to go through I think they have 171 major hospitals, is anybody's guess. So I guess I don't have a sense of whether that's a sufficient amount of money. What I do know, however, is that there's a shortage of doctors and a shortage of nurse practitioners throughout the country. And as I understand it, that's one of the things that seems to be impacting the scheduling, at least, of our vets.
We're talking with Joe Cavalco here, who has written an article called Broken – well, actually, the article is called A Barbecue in a Land of Hypocrisy. And I was reading it, and it was just fascinating to me that you mentioned in here that, you know, that this is kind of coming from the top down. We try to stay as apolitical as we can here, and it kind of – you know, we had issues back in the previous administration with disability claims being thrown in the garbage in certain regional offices, and now we've got another issue coming up here. And one of the things that you mentioned is that it's because you feel that Congress doesn't have enough veterans among their membership.
Bingo.
You know, look, we have 438 congressional representatives. 88 of them served in the armed forces. Out of 100 senators, only 18. All right, so, you know, it stands to reason that these people don't have a solidarity, okay, to the veteran. Mm-hmm. Right? They have no concept, okay, of what sacrifices were made going there, what promises were made, and promises that went right to the heart of these people, and why it is that now we should honor the obligation. I mean, obviously they're looking at the budget, and by some estimates, let me tell you, it's going to be phenomenally expensive. They're talking about upwards of $1 to $4 trillion over the next 30 years, I guess, all right, in order to take care of the claims and whatnot. That's an enormous amount of money. But, you know, they made the promise, and frankly, they have to stand behind it.
Well, I agree. Jim, you had something you want to say? There was something that we talked about earlier in our kind of before we went on the air, and we were just kind of commenting on, you know, our mission has always been to get our politicians to just tell us the truth. You sent us to war. You promised that when we got home, you'd take care of us. And you never, never, ever live up to your promises. And this starts off with George Washington. I mean, he stated that if you don't take care of your veterans, you're not going to have anybody that's going to want to enlist in the future. And this is what's happening now. I've noticed at our local VA that when I first went over there probably 10, 11 years ago, the vast majority of the patients were World War II. Now it's almost entirely Vietnam and Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans. And these guys are just coming into the system. They're 20 years old. They're going to be there for another 50 years.
That's right. That's right. And that's, you know, so who's thinking ahead here? Right? Because they've got, if they think it's expensive now or they can't control the system now, wait until these folks, okay, get up in age a few years.
Well, yes, and of course the signature injuries with these men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan is traumatic brain injury. You know, their heads have been rattled by all of these IEDs and so forth. The multiple tours, the post-traumatic stress disorder is becoming more and more prevalent or an accepted diagnosis, and it's just fascinating to me that people don't seem to pay attention. I mean, there was a guy in Texas. I wish I had this guy's name. He wanted, after the last Fort Hood shooting, he wanted to register all of the veterans that were being treated for PTSD. Come on, what are you doing out there? You know, you're trying to get us to admit that we have some issues and we need some help, but now you're going to put us on a list?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's my little rant.
Why don't we do it to mailmen, too? And how about the electricians and plumbers?
Yeah, you know, you never
Why
know.
Why don't we get them all?
Well, that's the issue, though, is how are we going to solve these? How are we going to solve these problems? And I guess in our... I know what I mentioned earlier. You were talking about that they are talking about outsourcing of the treatment.
Right. The solution is to be a little innovative in thinking, and part of that is to say, hey, maybe the VA system, healthcare system, doesn't have to replicate everything that's in the private sector. And to the extent we can refer these men and women out to a private doctor and let the VA pay for it as the insurer, we may be better off. We may at that point be getting faster turnaround times. We may be getting better care. Here in Michigan, we have a very established brain injury medical effort because of the no-fault auto accident laws. So there's plenty of folks in the state of Michigan who are excellent in that area, but they can't. They're not allowed to treat veterans. So they have the expertise, but the system isn't quite there yet to say, okay, yeah, we ought to be referring these folks out. So there are some creative ways to do it, and there's some bills being sponsored in that regards.
Well, one of the things that we had the director of the Ann Arbor VA on our program a number of times, and first of all, there was a big initiative to get more people to come to the VA. I remember that, Dale. Mm-hmm. He made it personal.
Making sure we sign up.
Yes, come on, come on, come on. And I heard this. Jim, I want you to comment on this, that I heard that the idea of going to the private sector and referring, that was in place a couple of years. What happened to that?
Well, it's been in a trial phase in limited areas, but it's not a universal provision, and that's what I'm talking about. The way to solve this is, hey, if the VA can't see you within pick a time period, 14 days, 21 days, whatever it might be, then you should have an automatic right, in my opinion, to go out and see a private doctor and send the bill to the VA. You shouldn't have to wait around for months trying to get in to see a specialist because there are specialists out there.
Well, Joe, you have a comment on that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a solution because, you know, anecdotally, what I'm hearing is that for these non-performing VA facilities, what I understand is that they have entrenched management which is, frankly, from another century, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't have any good ideas. And they tend to drag their feet. They won't they want things to remain the way they were, I guess, 20 years ago. So, you know, one of the obvious ways of fixing this is to send it to hospitals, which are, you know, in some sense competitive, or at least in the private sector. So they have more motivation, I guess, to bring these people in, to be, frankly, more innovative and efficient in treatment. So that may well be, and I don't see what it would take. Wouldn't take much to experiment. And they may need to do that at any rate, because just this past year, I guess there was a bill, okay, to build 27 new VA clinics and medical facilities. And, of course, it was knocked down because it was too expensive, or that's what the Republicans said the Democrats wouldn't allow them to add something, some rider to a bill or something. But at the end of the day, nobody cares whether there's Republicans or Democrats. All they want is they want to be treated the way they are and should be entitled to what they've earned should be coming to them.
Right. And in your article, you wrote that the Senate had this whole thing all lined up to build these additional VA clinics and medical facilities. But in this case, the Republicans wanted to attach sanctions on Iran to it instead of just passing the bill straight up. And, you know, enough of this stuff is what gets us all fired up and all aggravated, is that they always kind of play these games of adding something that they know is going to get the thing voted down or it's not even going to come out of committee. So what I would encourage our listeners to do, especially veterans out there, is get a hold of these congressmen and these senators and say, enough of this baloney, and you promised us something, let's deliver. Because if you don't deliver, there's 23 million veterans out there, and 23 million veterans are associated with how many millions of family members and so on and so forth.
Ooh,
and
that's a big vote. That's a big vote,
and And why can't we just take these guys out?
That's right. Exactly.
I don't mean out physically. I mean take them out of office. Carolyn?
I think Dale, it is very important, and Joe, thank you for your comments, that we really look at the issues. You know, everybody always says, do we have enough money? I don't know. Do we have enough staff? I don't know. But I think the leadership at each VA medical center and your C-box need to take a look and do a good scrub of your programs. Mm-hmm. Know where your veterans are. And if you're a veteran out there listening, and if you are having issues, because I get the calls, go to the director's office. Go and find your patient advocate, because I think as this mushrooms, it's not going to go away. Yep. And we should be addressing the issues.
Okay, well, the music is coming up, and so we know that we've run out of time again, or the first
wow.
time. It goes
we're
past,
just getting started.
I know we're just getting started. We're going to continue these discussions over the next who knows how
Let's
long,
have
at least
this
a couple of weeks.
Again.
We will. Joe, thank you very much. Joe Cavalco from Connecticut, and thanks very much for being on the program. Bob, thank you. Jim Falsone, Legal Help for Veterans, General Carolyn Falsone, and Jeff Archer. Until next week, you are dismissed.